Good morning, and welcome to God Talk with Dr. Hal Green. You can listen to Dr. Green each Sunday morning here on KWPC between 8:30 and 9 for interesting discussions about God. And now, here's Dr. Green.
Good morning. It's another beautiful day in Muscatine, Iowa. It's a good town. And I want to talk about a subject I said last week I would discuss, because I got an email from a person, and I, again, really would like it if you would send me emails at drhalgreen@gmail.com, drhalgreen at gmail.com. If you have questions, issues about God, will this person, and believe me, she's not alone, was raised for me the question of, you know, if there's a good God, how could there be so much suffering in the world? There's so much pain. You know, where is God in all of that? So I'm going to address that today. It's been called the problem of pain. It gets into a variety of issues. Let me begin by a simple statement from a philosopher that I translated a long time ago, who maintained that the first human words were, "I am and I suffer." Anybody here want to agree with that? Life is a frustrating event. We're all going to suffer. We live in the surface. How many times do you say to someone, "I'm fine," when they ask you, "How you doing? How you doing? How's everybody doing?" Waiting for the fine, fine, fine. Well, that's just the surface, right? Rather than, "Oh man, am I glad you asked. Can we talk?" I remember back in the 1980s when I was associate at a downtown Methodist church, at the downtown Methodist church in Des Moines, and I brought Francis and Judith McNutt, who have been for decades world leaders in Christian healing. And it was a weekend dealing with healing, and we had more than 600 people in downtown Des Moines in this weekend. And the second night, Judith McNutt, who's a sensitive, wonderful person, whose specialty is inner healing. It was going to be an evening where she was going to pray with us for inner healing. Now, getting ready for that, I had 10 different stations with clergy, professional psychologists, psychiatrists. I had all of these mental health, spiritual professionals that I had worked with and built into a team months prior to this event. So they would, it was a large church downtown, First Methodist Church in Des Moines. And you got to picture this, that we had the front, we had all of these 10 pairs ready to receive people to come forward around this rail, usually communion rail, and they would pray with them for whatever their healing issue was. And I was up working with Dr. McNutt and talking to the people as kind of the host pastor. I will never forget when Judith McNutt invited people to come forward, and they began to come, and the collective amount of pain that they opened. And I was standing there walking back and forth among the teams. Oh, I'm probably not shocking any of you here today to say there's a whole lot of suffering out there. As we'll talk about shortly, there's different kinds of suffering and there's different kinds of pain. But I am and I suffer. I suppose all of us could say, you know, my name is, I'm Hal, I have suffered. I do suffer. And apparently I will suffer. Even if we don't know why, we have to learn to live comfortably, to adjust with whatever level of suffering that we're going to endure, including its when and where. Now, let me start out by saying, to answer this vital question, pain, suffering, afflictions, trials, tribulations, all the stuff that flesh is heir to are primal mysteries. So I'm going to give you some theories, and we're going to talk about what the Bible teaches. But there's a fundamental mystery that I really cannot eradicate by or clear up by giving it some nice, sweet answer. They're ultimately unanswerable as to the whys. Just as, if I may say, why you are alive, why I'm alive. That's a good question. Why is there pleasure, not just pain? Why is there joy, not just sorrow? Why is there love, not just hate? We got the positive and the negative. So you're probably not, if you're interested in the subject, as I certainly am, you may not derive all the answers that you might want about pain and suffering in the next few minutes, but I hope at least you'll be a little more comfortable bearing bravely what God is bearing for you and with you more than you may realize, and that God, for whatever reason, permits you to go through. Even though sometimes, as we'll say, pain is self-chosen on our parts, not as if God's saying, oh, I want you to, you know, to smoke until you get lung cancer so you can really suffer. No, we chose that. And I hope you'll also realize the absolute necessity of God in our lives and total dependence on Him. And that could be one of the reasons why there is pain. So we are humbled enough to realize our absolute dependence on God. Well, next question, to why do we suffer? Okay, I've had a few discussions about this over the years, and I've done retreats on the problem of suffering. And I've told people, to truly understand the why of suffering, you would also need to understand what came before it and what will succeed in this life. In other words, I take the position, as have many, even those who are not of the Christian tradition, the ancient Greek philosophers believed that there was a pre-life. In Buddhism and Hinduism, you have reincarnation. So the idea being we came in here already having a history, okay? We don't know what's preceded this life, nor do we know what's going to come after. Now, I'm saying something that's very important. So what we're getting are these little pictures, frozen pictures of where we are, and it hurts. But we need to begin to, as best we can, get some sense as where is this coming from and what might this be leading toward? You know, it's possible, very possible, that the positive fruit of suffering is not going to be seen in this life. That's the church's position. Jesus said that our reward would be great in heaven. Paul said, if it's only for this life that we have hoped, we are of all people the most to be pitied. We're told, we're promised that God will wipe away all of our tears in what is to come. And even Jesus says in the Beatitude, blessed are those who mourn. What? Why? Why? For they shall be comforted. And I'll come back to that very important point in a way you may not have thought of it. Okay, what are some of the reasons why we suffer? First of all, it's built into our very frame, our nature. We're vulnerable, we're fragile. Look at, heard from a friend of mine. She likes to write little poems, and they live outside Portland, Oregon, and folks, it's really hot there. It's been like 3 days in the hundreds, and everything's dry, and now they're worried about fires. And of course, the fires out west. Wow. She went on about the fact that just a few degrees, like it didn't take that many degrees, and we're already suffering. You know, when you think about our comfort zone for we don't want it too cold, we don't want it too hot, we're pretty darn vulnerable and fragile. Yeah, we have air conditioning, thank God, those of us who do, and we have protective clothing and so forth. Still, it's our nature to be vulnerable. Dust you are, and unto dust you shall return. We suffer because we make or have made bad decisions, wrong choices, and had to bear the consequences. And maybe it was a learning experience, right? Wow. Unfortunately, we learn more from our mistakes than our successes, and our unfinished tasks we hold on to longer than those we have finished. And then, of course, we suffer, as we're very well aware, because of the bad or wrong choices others made toward us in word and deed, the abuses, the traumas, the wounding that came about from what others have done. We suffer also because of this, just the strangeness of nature and its terrifying unpredictability. A beautiful day here in Iowa could be followed by a horrific thunderstorm. Lately, you know, we've had terrible flooding in the southeast, in Louisiana, while we have terrible fires in California. So what a juxtaposition of opposites. Wow. It's nature. It seems to be built in. Then we suffer because of evil, and evil is real, and sometime, but not today. I will spend a session, especially if you write me and ask me, well, what is the nature of evil? Evil is certainly a privation or an absence of good. It's interesting that the word evil itself, if you turn it around, it says live. Huh. So therefore, evil would be the opposite of that which is promoting life. What kinds of things intensify suffering? Well, our attitude toward it, it's one thing. Not caving into it, but learning to just go on anyway and become, and that's how we get tougher, by bearing those things that we must bear. I'll come back to that. But the duration, how long? The repetition, is it something that we do have to go through every day? Or is it something that's just acute one time and it's over? Our doubts about life, our doubts about ourself. If we're depressed, pain feels worse. We tend to focus on it more. Uncertainty about life, absence of faith. Anxiety, that maybe there is no God, or God doesn't really care, or God doesn't have the power. All these kinds of horrible thoughts. So what helps alleviate suffering? And I'm going to talk about different kinds of suffering. Well, faith is extraordinarily important. It gives us the strength. God will strengthen us as we let God strengthen us. Learning how to be detached from pain, which is the way they do it in Buddhism. Learning how to let go and let be. Let go and let be of life and relationships. You know, try not to control what's out of your hands. Hope in God is vitally important as a strengthener to bear whatever pain or suffering we have to go through. Hope that it's going to end. Hope that things will yet get better. Time can help. Was talking to a woman the other day who had a child die. We talked about the fact that it never goes away, but over the years it gets easier to bear, but there will always be in her an area under construction that has to be taken care of. Yeah, gets easier. And purpose. Viktor Frankl, who was a psychiatrist, a Jewish psychiatrist whose wife died at Auschwitz, and he was somehow able to survive Auschwitz, and he wrote a book about, called Man's Search for Meaning, and he said, basically quoting Nietzsche, that anybody who has a why to live can accept almost any how. If we can find a reason for what we're going through, it helps us to go through it. And he gave the example of a doctor whose wife died before him, and this man was totally disconsolate. And he came to Dr. Frankl, and Frankel asked this man one question. Well, which would have been better? Which would you have preferred, you to die first or her to die first? And the man said, oh, her to die first. I mean, I know, you know, I've got the business and the money. And then he realized, oh, okay. That helped him in his suffering. He found purpose. There's different kinds of suffering, of course. There's obviously the physical suffering. You know, I've had my surgeries and hip joint replacements and knee replacements, and oh boy, we can sit down and talk about what we have suffered. And thank God for modern medicine. But then there's the suffering of the soul, the heart, from the wounds inflicted by others and circumstances. And I have been a therapist in private practice, and I know the wounds I suffered, the abuses, and how important that pain is. And in many ways, it may be worse than physical pain. Then there's the suffering of spirit from grief and the lost relationship. So these are some of the kinds of ways that we suffer. Now let's take just a short weather break, shall we?
KWPC can now be heard on both sides of the dial. AM 860, FM 95.1.
This is Pam with Great Clips Muscatine, inviting you to stop in and see us for a great haircut across from Walmart on Highway 61. Great Clips, it's going to be great.
Here's a look at your forecast from the KWPC AM 860 and FM 95.1 Weather Center. Mainly sunny skies today with highs around 75. Winds out of the northwest, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Tonight, lows level off around 52. Clear skies. Tomorrow, highs around 82. Low 80s Tuesday and Wednesday, with a chance for scattered storms Wednesday. I'm WeatherEye meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 61 degrees.
Your home in the country. KWPC, AM 860, FM 95.1.
Okay, we're back. Now, there are, I'm just kind of rambling, because when you get to the subject of pain and suffering, you can go a thousand directions. According to my understanding of God's actions, if I may dare put it that way, in terms of Scripture and what I've learned and the people with whom I've worked, I would say there are three primary purposes of pain, that is to say, good that can come from pain. We know that from everything God works good, according to Romans 8:28. So, what are those three? Here are the three, and I'll say a few things about each of them, and then ask you to plug it into your own life. You know, how much have you learned from your suffering? That's a question. That's a real question. I mean, I remember when I was 16, I don't know whatever possessed me to say this, but I did to my mother. I was talking about life and how I really wanted to understand what's going on in this world. And I said, Mom, I think I probably have to suffer a lot. Oh, be careful what you ask for. Anyway, the three are education, discipline, and healing. Let me say that again. Three primary purposes of pain from God's side. In other words, good that can come from it. One is education. What is it that we need to learn and know that unfortunately pain requires, we are required to go through pain? Second, discipline. What do I need to do or to become here? And here's a quote from Franz Rosenzweig, one of the most remarkable men of the 20th century, who got Lou Gehrig's disease and died at 29. But he somehow rose above his pain. And people said that when they would go to visit him, there was just so much beauty and joy in his face, even though he was so close to death. But he said this, what I'm going to say, and I live this, and I've told my students and my congregations this over the years. I must do all that I can now, so that when the time comes, I can do all that I must. I must do all that I can now, so that when the time comes, I can do all that I must. My 12 weeks at Parris Island in the Marine Corps as tough as they were some of the most important 12 weeks of my life. I developed a discipline. I remember running in place with our platoon, and I'd had enough. It was as far as I thought I could go. And I remember telling my body, okay, body, when you got to drop, go ahead and drop. And I didn't drop. And that statement, I must do all that I can now, so when the time comes, I can do all that I must. That is a reason things we have to go through. And I'll come back to that in a minute with what Hebrews tells. And then healing. What do I need to overcome, resolve, reconcile? And sometimes, as I said, we have to heal our sin-sick souls. You know, a little example, I know they have Novocaine, but going to a dentist sometime, you're going to go through a necessary pain for a greater end. So sometimes pain is required to heal, and that could include breaking us if we have too much pride, if we think we're too big and we need to be humbled. Humbling's painful, but healing. Okay, education. I got a poem, one of the great poems by Khalil Gibran from the book The Prophet. Your pain is the breaking of the shell that encloses your understanding. Even as the stone of the fruit must break that its heart may stand in the sun, so you must know pain. And could you keep your heart in wonder at the daily miracles of your life, your pain would not seem less wondrous than your joy. That's a tough one, but think about that. In fact, Gibran elsewhere said, I love this, who knows but that the angels envy us our pain? What? Yeah. And you would accept the seasons of your heart, even as you have always accepted the seasons that pass over your fields, and you would watch with serenity through the winters of your grief. Much of your pain is self-chosen. It is the bitter potion by which the physician within you heals your sick self. Therefore, trust the physician and drink his remedy in silence and tranquility. For his hand, though heavy and hard, is guided by the tender hand of the unseen. And the cup he brings, though it burn your lips, has been fashioned of the clay, which the potter has moistened with his own sacred tears. Wow. We do learn firsthand. And discipline, this magnificent passage from Hebrews speaks to the necessity of discipline. From the 12th chapters. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that clings closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and pioneer of our faith, who, for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, so that you may not grow weary or lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And you have forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as children. My child, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, or lose heart when you are punished by him. For the Lord disciplines those whom he loves, and chastises every child whom he accepts. Endure trials for the sake of discipline. God is treating you as children, for what child is there whom a parent does not discipline? If you do not have that discipline in which all children share, then you are illegitimate and not his children. Moreover, we had human parents to discipline us, and we respected them. Should we not even be more willing to be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good in order that we may share his holiness. Wow. It's kind of hard to explain why there's pain, although it's limited. And you know, as I said, we're promised that the time will come when God will wipe away all of our tears. And I ask you this now, 'cause I've actually asked this. It's hard, but I've asked this of grieving persons, because I've done, a lot of work with grief and funerals. I've said the following thing. Okay, if I could take your pain, your grief, from your loss of your loved one away right now, would you let me do it? What do you think the answer was? Always has been, right away. No. No. And here's the reason that they would give. If you take away my pain, you would have to take away my love as well. And I can't let go of that. Wow. Wow. Now, here's my next question, and I've also used this, and it speaks to me, and I actually really believe what I'm going to say here. You know, it's limited duration pain and suffering. It's going to be good for it. We got to learn things. We got to become disciplined. What if, just listen, what if the healing is greater than the pain? I'm giving an example of that. What if, you scraped your right forearm and there's an ointment that's put on that is so wonderfully pleasant, pleasurable. It's ecstatic that you're thankful that you had a wound so you could receive the ointment. If you didn't have a wound, you wouldn't. Interesting. As I wrote once, pain is a hidden miracle, for it shall carve out a beautiful chalice. I'm paraphrasing now, I can't. Out of what's a little cup? It shall turn your little cup into a great chalice. And you will but pity those whose cups are easily filled when the wine comes. Makes a lot of sense to me. Makes a lot of sense. Makes a lot of sense. Well, how much time have I got? 2 minutes. Good. Okay, I wanted to find Paul here. Another one of my favorite passages about pain. When you think about the greatest generation, those who went through the Depression of World War II and how strong they became. They suffered so much, but they rose above it. They became better for it. The Nietzsche, again, quoting him, "That which does not kill us makes us stronger." This is from Romans 5. "Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, we also boast in our sufferings." Now just listen to the progression here. "Knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given us." Wow. So if I'm not willing to go through suffering, then I'm not going to develop endurance. And then without endurance, I will not develop into the strength of character that God calls us to. And therefore, I will have no vessel to hold hope, the hope that continues and believes only in God, because where do you put your hope? You put it only in God, not in this or that outcome, but only in God. Well, there's a lot more to talk about with pain, but I think enough is enough, because, pardon me, it's sort of painful to talk about it. So if you have anything you'd like me to talk about, please email me, drhalgreen@gmail.com, drhalgreen. At Gmail. And if you'd like to hear the show, I think I was giving you my website, drhalgreen.com, drhalgreen.com. You can listen to this show or have some friends listen to it. And God bless you, and the best is always yet to be. God bless you. Bye.
Broadcasting live from the Muscatine Hy-Vee Studios, KWPC Muscatine, AM.